the deal to release one American soldier is still generating lots of discussion. I'm talking about Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, let go by his Taliban kidnappers in exchange for the U.S. releasing five Taliban detainees from Guantanamo. That raised a debate. Was a swap a smart move, or does it put more American lives at risk? And there's another subject of debate that caught my attention, Bergdahl's beard. He was clean-shaven when he was released, but Bergdahl grew a long beard while in captivity. And his dad sported one, too, last week at the White House. Those beards have a lot of people in Washington questioning Bergdahl's sympathies. Ziv Eisenberg has actually done research on the historical stigma of beards. He's a professor of history at Yale.
Well, there's a long history of politicizing and stigmatizing masculine beards. And the rage that we see today in some conservative circles about Bergdahl's beard actually echoes earlier chapters in American political history when certain individuals and political groups were stigmatized and their opponents used the beard as a symbol to identify those groups. And I'm talking particularly about left-wing radical politicians and activists, communists, socialists, anarchists in the early 20th century.
So Abraham Lincoln had a beard, but we're not going back that far, and he had a good beard, if you go by historical records. When did beards start to represent something less virtuous than Lincoln?
Well, actually, Lincoln was the first president to have a beard, and his physical appearance corresponded with the rise of the beard as a new masculine fashion. If you look at the list of American presidents, they actually their physical appearance actually reflected this new trend in the second half of the 19th century to have a beard. However, in the late 19th century, scientists, primarily in Europe, formulated the germ theory of disease. And this theory, which was accepted by the medical establishment by the early 20th century, was popularized in the early 20th century. And although doctors and scientists were able to identify bacteria that was causing disease, their therapeutic arsenal was mostly limited. We didn't have antibiotics until the 1930s and 1940s. So what doctors and public health officers emphasized in the early 20th century in light of this new revolutionary theory, the germ theory of disease, was that people of all walks of life adopt new bodily regimens. Beards, facial hair was considered filthy. It was feared that it might harbor deadly infectious bacteria. So men were told to discard their beards.
Wow, that is fascinating stuff. I mean, that sense that beards had germs in them, how did society kind of fold that knowledge into their political perception of people with beards?
Well, it's interesting that at the same time that Americans were learning how to accept this new threat of infectious disease and thinking about it and trying to prevent it, they were also facing a new political opponent in the form of left-wing radicalism. And when the Bolsheviks seized Russia in 1917, they promised that they're going to spread the revolution to the rest of the world. And there was a new public discussion in the United States about whether the U.S. might fall into communism, too. However, how do you know that someone is a communist? The Justice Department was looking for subversive organization. They were looking for communist activists, but you don't necessarily know what's going on inside a person's head. And this is how beards became to symbolize, in popular imagination, people who were suspected as being left-wing radicals. And it's very similar to the way conservatives today, some conservatives today, think about the risk that they conflate with Muslims and terrorism and threat to the demographic makeup of the United States in the 21st century. So how do you know if a person is a Muslim or if a person is a terrorist? You don't necessarily know, and this is how beards actually come to symbolize today a certain threat. You know, Bill O'Reilly said on the show on Fox News that Bo Bergdahl's father is a Muslim because he looks like a Muslim.
Well, what do you think, Ziv, when you see kids these days in their 20s, you know, kind of trendsetting with beards?
I feel for them as someone who, like you, doesn't like shaving, but at the same time, very similar to the sentiment you expressed in the beginning of our conversation. After 3 or 4 days, I get tired and itchy.
Ziv Eisenberg is a professor of history at Yale University, and just for the record, I did ask him, he does not have a beard.